gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1239. This is your host, Danny Pena, and we have the whole Gamertag Radio crew up in here for this episode. Let's start with Mr. Nice Guy himself, Mr. Paris Lilly. Paris, how you doing?
I'm good. Good morning. How you doing?
Good. What's up with you, man? Anything new? Getting ready for the playoffs or what?
Well, there's a few things that are up with me, but since you like to tell all my stories, why don't you let the audience know what's going on?
Okay, I'll mention it. I'm going to leak everything. No. But so you guys are ready for, first of all, The Last of Us is tonight. I know you're probably going to watch that tonight, right? And tomorrow, the Bucks is going to be playing, man, the playoffs, man. How do you feel about the playoffs for you guys?
It's interesting. It's obviously going to go one or two ways. Either we're about to watch Tom Brady's last game, I feel, or Cowboys is about to be pure chaos. Like the loser, whatever happens with the loser, that's all people are going to be talking about. No one's going to care about who wins. So it's going to be interesting to see that. Yeah. But being serious for a second. So with me, it's actually been a pretty busy week. Went up to San Francisco, was up in Kind of Funny Studios for a couple of days, recorded a bunch of stuff on there. Good content on that. We put out Game of the Year episode. I co-hosted Kind of Funny Games Daily with Janet. That was a lot of fun. And then we did our annual PS I Love You versus XCast fantasy draft. That was a lot of fun as well. You know, people looking at me like I'm crazy for some of my picks, but I'm smart. Okay.
Don't sleep on my picks.
But did that. Then I went on What's Good Games earlier this week as well. Had a lot of fun recording with those ladies. And it's been good.
Yeah.
Been a good week.
A lot of talk about baking, which is, that was fun. Yes. I liked it.
And I'm going to go to Dice. I decided to pull the trigger and I'm going to go to Dice this year, go to the Dice Awards. So that should be a lot of fun too. Get to see a lot of people in Las Vegas, get to hang out, all that, celebrate the industry. So good week. Yeah.
It's going to be good, man. I'm also going to be attending DICE, so I can't wait for us to hang out over there, man. It's been a long time. Actually, we have never got to hang out at Vegas, right? Well, we have. I think we have.
No, we have. We actually have. We've never, all of us with Pete, we've not hung out in Vegas because I've individually hung out with both of you at Vegas, which is true. Hilarious.
That's very true. Yeah.
That's true. And also we have Peter. What's up, Pete? Pete Toledo.
Pete Toledo. What's up, Pete? Well, Mr. Pete Toledo here, episode 1239. Hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah. How's everything over there, man?
I've decided to celebrate my 50th year on the planet with surgery.
Oof. Surgery. Yeah. That's coming up in a couple of days.
Later this week. No, it'll be Thursday. Okay. It'll be Thursday. Part of getting old, I've come to realize at the age of 49, don't dance. Don't dance. It's part of growing old and I've come to realize it is what it is. So I'm just going to go in, get a quick, I'm sound like an athlete right now. I'm just going to go in, get a quick scope. I'll be back out on the field in 2 weeks. I'm good. It is what it is. I'll just go through it. And then, you know, I've got some work stuff coming up. Where I'll be going out of going back to Morocco. So that's going to be fun. Pretty interesting. And that's about it, man. Looking forward to seeing what you guys do over at DICE, though.
P, I hope everything goes well, man. Just take your time recovering and everything is going to be good. You have the Steam Deck, play your games, you're good.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, all right, everyone. Thank you for listening to this episode of Gamertag Radio. Remember, you can find us at any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Review, follow us, subscribe. It'll help us out a lot. Shout out to everybody that have been posting the reviews. either on Apple Podcasts or Spotify is very, very helpful, man. So also, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we have a couple things to talk about here, and actually I'm going to be flying out like right after this recording, so this show is not going to be long like the previous episodes, but stay tuned. I have more content coming up though in the future. All right, so let's start with this. Paris, I know we were having this conversation because I haven't talking to Pete at all this week, but we've been talking back and forth about everything that's happening with Xbox, the developer, what is it? Developer Direct. This happening. It's an official announcement, so January 25th, yes. Where they're going to be showing some games, upcoming games, Redfall, I believe, Elder Scrolls Online, like some new content, Forza, and I believe there's one more game. I'm not 100%
Minecraft
sure.
Legends.
Minecraft Legends, which I'm excited for that. Very, very excited for that game.
If you're so excited for it, why couldn't you remember it?
Hey, man. I have a lot of stuff in my head. A lot of stuff. I'm not young, B. You know? So, but honestly, like, I'm excited to see how Xbox is going to present this, you know, because the previous conversation we had last week, P was in here too. You know, we enjoyed Inside Xbox, but there were some moments that, like, I just didn't like the layout and the editing of the show. But I think having that one-on-one conversation was just with the developers and let them talk about the games, I think it's going to be a better presentation, in my opinion, man. And we're going to hear official dates for all these games from now to the after spring, I believe, close to the summer. So I'm very excited. So I would just want to hear your thoughts about, I know you talked about this on What's Good Games and also on SCAS, your thoughts about this announcement from Xbox.
I think it's the right move. I think this format to focus on these four games and like they're calling it, you know, developer_direct, no hosts. It is the actual teams making the games, presenting, you know, what we're going to see. I like it. I do want to see what this is going to look like. I think the most important thing to come out of this is going to be release dates. That's what people really want to see, is when can I expect Redfall? When can I expect Minecraft Legends, Forza, you know, et cetera. So that's the most important thing to come out of this. Also, for them to spin off Starfield into its own standalone event, give it its own spotlight, extra time to showcase that game. If it's going to truly be as big as Microsoft and Bethesda hoped it's going to be, makes a lot of sense. Obviously, Todd Howard can go on stage and probably talk for 2 hours about that game, really show it, you know, and also put a release date on Starfield. So I like it, you know, and Aaron Greenberg made a point to say this is just the first of many events that they're going to do like this, where I think, yes, you want to have your big E3 blowout showcase all this stuff coming, you know, in the future and all that. But I think the thing that Microsoft or Xbox has not done a great job with is showcasing some of their smaller games. Sure. Like I always say, I come out of that June showcase, I remember Kojima and Starfield. I don't remember anything else. But there's games like Stalker 2. There's games like Lightyear Frontier. Obviously, you know, we talk about Redfall. We talk about Minecraft Legends. You know, we know Avowed's coming. Hellblade 2. There's all these different games that deserve their own individual spotlight that Microsoft can use these developer directs throughout the year to bring awareness to them so that people know that they're coming. They have a release date from, and you're hearing from the developers talking about the games that they're making versus doing the sit down interviews, which again, I do believe they'll continue to do that at E3. They'll have an extended things like that. I don't think those are going to go away, but I think this is how you supplement them throughout the year by having these developer directs. So I'm looking forward to it. Very, very excited for the 25th.
Yeah. And P, I want to hear your thoughts about this too, man. And I'm wondering, and I would like to get your opinion about this, but do you think it makes sense for Microsoft to have like a monthly type of content like this? Because I know it worked for Nintendo, but sometimes, like, let's say with PlayStation, they spread it out. Maybe it could be like every 2-3 months they'll have something, man. So, I mean, based with the announcements from last year during the showcase, they were saying that there's going to be like the most content ever, most games that's going to be released this year for Xbox. So your thoughts about the whole thing and what you think about my question.
So after the announcement came out from Xbox, you know, we had Aaron Greenberg out on his Instagram, and he said, you know, it's going to be a big year starting on January 25th, and rightfully so. I mean, I think all three of us said it at the end of the year show, just that this has got to be probably the most important year of Xbox's history, right? They've taken some L's over the last couple of years, right? With, you know, everybody complaining about lack of studio content, the games not being up to par or up to the expectation that gamers have or consumers have for Xbox titles. And so now they're starting off the year, and Paris, you know, was right with, you know, they're going to keep it small with a small chunk of games, primarily, like we've said, Redfall, Minecraft, Forza. The one we didn't comment on last week was Elder Scrolls Online. We did not even, I don't recall any of us actually say that title, which is surprising because it is a major title from the Bethesda team. That said, I think the biggest announcement, which I don't think any of us expected, or actually I don't recall us saying, was that Microsoft having a dedicated Starfield event standalone in the works coming soon after this. So to answer your question, maybe not a monthly series, because all these games are in various components of development, whether they're going to be close to or ready for it. But it gives them a boom. Here's your announcement. Here's why we weren't ready for the Game Awards, or why they didn't have a presence. Not specifically addressing that, but here is what you need to know coming up for 2023. Obviously, Starfield is their big title for 2023. No strings, you know, there's no doubt about that. That is their big tentpole title for 2023. And honestly, they're dedicating it. They're having it as a dedicated title for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, it's not a bad idea. The one thing that they didn't say on the announcement, and nor did Aaron mention it on his Instagram, Xbox Germany actually said it, that they'll actually announce Forza and Redfall release dates during the live stream. So I think those of us, myself included, are going to be super excited to finally have day and date for Redfall when it comes.
Yeah, and I would love to play this game to see. I want us to guess which games are going to come out first and when. So I would like to start first, if you guys don't mind. I think for the month of the end of February, maybe the beginning of March, I could see Forza coming out, in my opinion. I'm also guessing Redfall, maybe April. That probably makes sense, right? And for Minecraft Legends, let me see. Minecraft Legends. Let's go with early April with Minecraft Legends. There you go. And then if let's say Starfield comes out, then maybe June, right before E3. That's my guess. What about you, Pete?
I'm gonna say Redfall.
Yeah.
In February. I'm gonna say Minecraft Legends in March. Forza, I'm gonna say April, and I'm gonna say Elder Scrolls either after. I think it's gonna be in the dead period after E3, between the holiday season. I think that comes out July, August.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Paris, F you, and we could go to the next
question. Wow, okay. All right.
There you go. Shout out to Paris. All right, so another thing too is, and look, I think this game is never going to come out. My God. Skull and Bones, ladies and gentlemen, delayed. Delayed again. Not surprised. I mean, look, we always support developers. We always say, hey, take your time on working the game, you know. But here's the thing. if the game is not ready, what is the point of announcing the year and the date that's coming out? I'd rather see no announcements until the game is ready, and then you announce it, right? But having multiple delays like this, it just doesn't look good. You know, right now, people are even believing that, too, like the game is never going to come out, you know? And we got to play the game. Oh, my God, I forgot what year it was at E3.
2018.
And it was a really rough version of the game that we got to play, man. So, I mean, if you guys are just curious about the game, not hype at all, or I'm very curious. I'm not hype about it, but I'm just curious to see how it's going to be compared to like the previous time that we got to play it.
I think I said it on our Discord channel that it's gotten to Beyond Good and Evil 2 levels. Obviously, I don't think we'll ever see that, you know, just because Michael Ancel is no longer at Ubisoft. But I think we also need to take a step back from the, oh my God, we're never going to see it. All Yves Guillaume said was that it's going to be, it's going to come out during early next fiscal year. And if you look at their notes, Ubisoft's fiscal year runs from April 2023 to March 2024. Mm-hmm. So it's anywhere between April and July of 2023 is when you can expect it, right? So whether they make a major push announcement at E3 or just before, I think that's when you see it. As far as the game in and of itself, yeah, I was looking forward to it, but that was at 2018. We haven't seen hide or hair of the game since. obviously, that game came off of the backs of Black Flag and Valhalla, which, you know, Black Flag was the team, the Black Flag team, I think it was Shanghai, correct me if I'm wrong, the Ubisoft Shanghai team, was the ones working on and did all of the ship, the naval component of Black Flag. And then obviously that whole technology and that skill set, you know, with Ubisoft's development squads, went through that process. But I don't know if 5 years later, I still have the itch and the desire to play Skull and Bones. Yeah. You asked me last week, why wasn't it on my list? Because totally, I completely forgot about it, you know? It is what it is, you know? And I can't even lie or front about it. I mean, it's been out of, you know, our eyes or ears for so long that it's one of those titles, just like we mentioned earlier, you know, ESO, completely off the radar. Now this hit, does it hurt the expectation? Yeah, I would imagine so. But I mean, it is what it is. And obviously, you would think that Ubisoft would want to launch this as soon as possible, get it out, get it into the market. But it has to be good when it launches, right? Ubisoft has been known to launch games in a not 100% stake, right? Or condition. So hopefully this isn't a business move, which I don't see why. Hopefully this is more of a development move to make sure that it's in the right state when it comes out day one.
You know, as well, I was just thinking about it, Pete, what you were talking about this. You were the person that interviewed someone, I think, from the development team.
Yeah.
About the game, GTR, back in E3 of 2018.
Right.
So yeah, it's been a long time. So for those who are listening, go back to the archive. It's there, and make sure to check it out. It was a lot of fun. Now, the thing is too, man, there was a time when Ubisoft was just releasing bangers every year, multiple titles a year. And now it's just been kind of quiet. I think the last big game that came out recently was Marvel Rabbids. That was like the big game for them, and I heard is underperform for Ubisoft compared to the first game. And they also, Ubisoft also announced that three unannounced titles also got canceled. So where's Splinter Cell, right, Paris? Where is all these major titles that we've been waiting from Ubisoft for years, man? It's just been it's been kind of quiet for the studio, man, and slash publisher for a while now. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think, because if you go back in time to around that 2017, 2018 era, you know, you're looking at Ubisoft of, like, oh wow, look at all these IPs that they have coming, the sequels, like the Division 2 is coming out around the time, all that stuff. They're doing all the Assassin's Creed things, and you're thinking, Starlink. Wow, they're really starting to build up, you know, their portfolio, and they're becoming one of the major publishers in this industry. Not that they already weren't, but you get my point, like at the top. But now here we are going to 2023. They actually look like they're kind of in trouble. The fact that they had to cancel some unannounced games, the reputation that they have right now with a lot of their open world things, just basically being very repetitive and rinse and repeat. You know, they got to start having these games that stand out. It is looking like between Assassin's Creed, Avatar, and the Star Wars game coming from Massive, if those aren't hits, there may not be a Ubisoft. And I know that sounds crazy to say, like super extreme, but just going by, and I always screw up his name, but basically the CEO, what we found out that he sent internally, you know, to all the employees to basically tell them they need to step up, right, and work harder, says to me that there's definitely some concern internally with Ubisoft. The fact that these rumors of them potentially getting sold are not going away says a lot. Like me personally, like we talk about Skull and Bones, I'm at that point now where I truly don't have a lot of interest in it. I'm going to have hands on, and it's going to need to wow me to be impressed by Skull and Bones. I mean, it's almost becoming like the industry joke that it keeps getting delayed, like a Duke Nukem, right, where it just keeps getting delayed, which is unfortunate for that. You know, you think about a Beyond Good and Evil 2. No one expects that game to come out anymore, which is so unfortunate. God, how long ago did that get announced? Was that like 2015?
It was 2018, right? That was 2015?
I think it's been a long freaking time since Beyond Good and Evil 2 got announced. But you get my point. You know, they're saying Splinter Cell's coming, but it's not a new Splinter Cell. It's just like the Dead Space remake. It's just a remake of the original. I can't get that excited about it because I want new Sam Fisher adventures. Obviously, we'll see what Assassin's Creed Mirage is going to be. I think a lot is riding on that. I mean, you look at what Avatar is doing in theaters right now, so there should be high anticipation for this Avatar game coming out. I'm definitely curious myself to play it, but it needs to be good. I mean, obviously Massive is making it, and we know Massive, you know, is a fantastic developer, so I have high expectations for it. And then we talk about the Star Wars game. I'm sure it's still a ways off, but it better be good. And again, Massive is making it, so I have high anticipation for it. But then you think about the free-to-play model that Ubisoft is starting to do, like Division Heartland. As much as I want more Division, do I want a free-to-play Division? I don't know. Is this going to be something that interests me? I simply don't know. Look at where the Far Cry series has started to go. Can any of us truly sit here and say that we're super excited about, I guess, what going to be Far Cry 7, 8 at this point, whatever it is? I don't know, because that open world has become so rinse and repeat with that franchise. Like the fact that Arkane, when they talked about Redfall and saying, no, it's not a Left 4 Dead, they were specific that it was a Far Cry 2 was a lot of the inspiration that they got to make Redfall, says a lot about the Far Cry franchise that you just didn't generalize it, because a lot of people haven't been happy with some of the newer Far Cries that we've had. So yeah, Prince of Persia, where the hell is that? Like they're on and on down the list with the IPs that Ubisoft has, and we're not seeing results coming out of that. I mean, look at Watch Dogs, look at what happened with Legion. No one talks about that or cares about that right now, right? On down the list with these IPs. So yeah, there's definitely concern. It is going to be fascinating to see what happens over the next couple of years with Ubisoft. And I think it starts coming up here with Avatar, and then it's going to end with whatever the Star Wars games is going to be. And what do they do in between that as far as hits go? And again, Mirage, I didn't pick Mirage in my fantasy draft, but you can pick up games like basically waiver wire games. It was the first waiver wire game I picked up was Mirage, because I feel like Assassin's Creed is getting back to basics, and I do have high hopes for it coming this holiday. So we'll see with Ubisoft, but definitely there should be concern internally.
Yeah, you know, another, which I totally agree with you, Paris, but you know, another game that we forgot also to mention, Rayman, that came out years ago for the Switch, and also it came out for all the platforms, right? But that game was phenomenal. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And it was different. It was new for Ubisoft for releasing a game like that during that time. I want to see new stuff. And I agree, man. I'm tired of the same formula that we get to see all these games. Like, it's just, I don't know.
Ghost Recon is another one. I mean, look at what they've done with Ghost Recon.
Yeah. And I hope at E3, hopefully we get to hear big announcements from Ubisoft and get us excited again, man. Because there was a time when we were going to E3, we were like, man, Ubisoft killed it this year. Like, every single year was like that, man. And it's been quiet from them for a very long time, man. You know, so. But at the same time, I don't want them to announce Beyond Good and Evil 2, and there's nothing, there's no updates after that. You know, it's just been kind of quiet. That's the part that it's annoying too. But go ahead, Pete.
It's funny because in that 2017-2018 era, and I've just been putting it in the chat here for people that want to go back to that, right? Like, Paris first interviewed Skull and Bones in 2017. Then we did something in 2017. And then, so then there was, you know, there was a recap conversation where we had just done the hands-on with Division 2, Starlink, and Skull and Bones. Remember, we were rotating between rooms in that space. And then I had one in 2018. And then, you know, we're talking about Beyond Good and Evil 2. That was originally announced in 2008. And then we talked about in 2016. And then, like, there was like that rumor that, oh, Nintendo is going to throw money at it because they wanted it on their platform. And then that's when the whole Michael Ancel disappeared conversation happened. So it's, that was the time when, it's funny because we didn't say it then because we weren't feeling it yet, but that's when we were starting to get all of that Ubisoft, it was Ubisoft love, right? Cause you know, we were, and we still have, you know, we still have that. But that's when we were starting to get that franchise fatigue for some of these titles, right? And then that's when it was like, okay, Ubisoft should start pulling back the reins on some of that and taking 2 years to drop a title versus dropping it every you know, 10 months, which was causing some fatigue, at least from my part. But that's also when we got that first Mario and Rabbids. And that's when the excitement, like you guys said, happened. That Starlink games, you know, that's when games started coming out that felt fresh and new, that was outside of the normal rinse and repeat. I almost call it it's almost like the Ubisoft format where it's, you go into an action game, go do this fetch quest, come back, go back and do another fetch quest. And that it's the same model or the same, you know, format, but with different characters in different settings. And having games like Mario Rabbids, which, look, Sparks of Hope was in my top five for last year. You know, that was a game that I can't remember seeing a bad review for it. There were so many people that it was critically well received, but it underperformed according to Ubisoft. I don't know what their expectations were, but obviously having that Ubisoft or having that Mario license may have cut into the cost of, or what they expected as a return. Just Dance did not succeed, as it's always been a tentpole title for them. It's always been something that's sold well, but it's now it's not, right?
I wonder what's gonna happen next now, Pete, like with all these games that it's still underperform, you know?
Yeah, and it's weird because Paris mentioned the Star Wars massive title. Again, another title that wasn't on our list last year or last week, right? For 2023. We don't know much about it. I don't know if the title is, I don't know if that's a 2023 title at all. Right. That's.
I don't think so. I think that's like maybe 2024, 2025. I don't see that. Yeah. This year is Jedi Survivor.
Right. So what they were saying, you know, they said Mirage, you know, Assassin's Creed Mirage, Avatar: Frontiers of Pandora, and another yet to be announced premium game, including a large one as well as promising free to play titles, which we know about. So if it's a yet to be announced premium game, what could that be? Do we know that that's a? Do we think that that's a something that's tied to one of their normal franchises, whether it's Far Cry or what have you, or is that a completely brand new IP that they have in the works? Because I would assume that the large one is the Star Wars massive title, because we know that.
Yeah, and Avatar too. That's a big one.
Well, but we know about those. Yeah. What is that yet to be announced premium game that they mentioned in that call? That's the
could have been Prince of Persia or something like that, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Look,
that's
man, true. I've been saying it for years. Give me the weep with the three green lights. Cut to black. Oh, done.
Well, it's a wrap. We know Splinter Cell is coming. They said it.
Yeah.
But not the VR.
It's a remake of the first game.
But not the VR, because the VR title was canceled last year.
No, but he said remake. They did announce a remake, Pete. Last year. Yeah. But I was going to mention, what was the name of the game, which is trash, by the way? The one that was a Battle Royale and it was free that came out in 2020, around that time.
Hyperscape. Hyperscape.
Hyperscape. There you go. Yeah.
That game was not. That's the problem. When you try to copy whatever is hot at the moment, most of the time, it's not going to succeed, man. I feel like by Ubisoft creating games that's totally new experience, and something unique, I feel like it's going to stand out. Look at Mario Rabbids, the first game. It stood out because we have never seen something like that. That type of game from Ubisoft. You know, another game that it also came out around that year too. Oh my god, what's the name? It was like the one was like a lot of gods in the game, open world.
Phoenix Rising.
Yeah, amazing game. Look at that. Like, I wanted to see new experience, new games from Ubisoft. I think that formula works more for the company.
So
let's copy everybody. You know.
So we know that they've, you know, we know that Oddballers is another one. I think it's a Switch, maybe like another handheld style or for. I want to think it's kind of like Splatoon in a sense almost. They've, you know, Division Heartland, Skull and Bones, Mirage, Avatar. Infinity? Isn't there like an Assassin's Creed Infinity, or it's a platform for other games that's coming up?
That's in the future, though.
Okay. Prince of Persia remake, and then they have some Project Q game, but I can't remember if it was like a fighting, kind of like that fighter, that what was the fighting game from last year, Knockout City or something like that.
Mm-hmm. That was EA. That's EA.
I know that, but didn't they have like a team battle arena type game from last year? It's Project Q. It was like Project Q. No, game. that's something else. That's a different game. They've got a couple of other ones. I don't know.
You know what I just found out yesterday? I had no idea because I was just browsing online. They just released Division 2 on Steam.
Yeah.
But it's getting mixed reviews because there's a lot of missing achievements there. It's buggy. It crashes a lot. It doesn't work on the Steam Deck. I'm like, man, I thought that game was on Steam a long time ago, but it wasn't. All right. Okay. Crazy. All right. So very quick, let's go to the next topic because I have a flight. I have to head out very soon. So I got to watch this first episode of The Last of Us. A shout out to HBO for inviting me and also my wife to attend. We were at the red carpet event here in Los Angeles. By the way, it was pouring. It was raining so much. So they did a whole great job inside, but man, just getting there was just it was a pain, man. But we got to see all the actors, everybody that's involved with this project. I got to see Jeff Keighley there, the Naughty Dog team. I'm trying to think of who else. The actor that's going to be in the Jedi Survivor game from Star Wars. He was there, Cameron. I forgot his last name, but he was there too. Janina Gavankar was there too. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun seeing everybody were there at the event. So, let me tell you, man, for those that love The Last of Us, the game, the first one, and for those that never play the game, you guys are going to love this series. This series is so good. In my opinion, in which I agree with a lot of the reviews that's been out, is the best video game adaption from a TV series ever made, hands down. I just love the way how they edit the show. First of all, it doesn't look cheap. Like, if you watch the Halo TV series, it feels like a sci-fi channel series or something like that. I don't know. That's like the closest thing I could compare it to, right? But this one doesn't look like that at all. The production, oh my God, top notch. Acting, amazing. Shout out to Pedro and Bella. I think they're like the perfect team for this, man. Playing the characters of Joe and Ellie. And you will also notice they show a couple of scenes in the game that you get to know of other characters that's in the game. And I think there's some in the later episodes, which I read that online, where new characters that is not in the game at all, that you get to know them too. So the series is amazing. First episode is like 81 minutes long. Everything else after that, I think it's going to range from like 44 minutes, all the way to like 80 something minutes. So I'm excited to watch the rest of the series. And I played the first game multiple times. The only question I do have is, okay, season one is done. Is this going to be the ending of the game from part one? How is it going to work with season two and beyond? Are they going to create new stories that of games that, because it takes a long time to create a game, you know? So it's going to be a little bit quicker compared to creating a game if they create another like season two, season three, et cetera, right? So there's going to be moments that I was like, oh, like I felt like that playing the game, and this one, it was a lot more, in my opinion, that I got emotional, like certain scenes in the series and everything, man. So if you have HBO Max, highly, highly recommended to watch this, man. I want everybody to support this, because if this becomes successful, now all the companies that are planning to have like movies and series, now they need to step up their game, man, because this was so well done. So well done. Paris P, any questions or are you guys excited for the series or what, man?
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm really looking forward to checking it out tonight. One thing that you didn't mention, the season one covers the first game. So if they do a second season, it would be The Last of Us Part Two. That I did hear. I'm very excited to see it. It sounds like they've done this in the way that it's going to appeal not only to the hardcore Last of Us fans, but new people as well. So it's going to appeal to a new audience. Really, really looking forward to seeing this live action adaptation. And to the point that you made, if this does set a bar for quality and expectation from video game adaptations, I do have a slight concern moving forward that we're already know that there's a God of War series coming, Horizon series coming. Are they doing more with Assassin's Creed? I can't remember, but you get my point. There's more of these series that are coming. Fallout series is coming as well. Are they going to meet that quality bar that this potentially could set? Because now audiences are going to have expectations for these video game adaptations. We obviously already know your mileage highly varies on that Halo series. My one biggest complaint with the Halo series has always been that it veered so far away from the source material. It wasn't really Halo anymore, right? And that started episode one, Master Chief taking his helmet off. Didn't need that. Still don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's other things that happened in that first season that I don't necessarily agree with. And then to your point about from a quality standpoint, the special effects budget just didn't live up to par on what you would expect from Halo. Right. So I don't want to see more of those. Like, that Halo series was on Paramount Plus. It might as well have been on the Sci-Fi Channel, in my personal opinion. But I'm excited for this. I want to see what it's going to be, but then it will be interesting to see what other companies do moving forward as from a quality standpoint, you know, because that's what I want to see. Sure, there's a lot of great stories in video games that I would love to see brought to live action or even to animation. Cyberpunk Edgerunners, as an example, is another high quality bar that has been set on that side. Arcane, you know, is another one. But it'll be interesting to see what other adaptations we see beyond this. But from hearing what you've said, what Ree said, other people out there that have seen, you know, the first episode and some of the reviews have seen the entire series at this point, everyone has been raving about this. So I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, some people watched episode one, some watched the whole thing. And that, and another group also watched like episodes 1 through 4. So I'm excited. I only got to see one. So I'm hyped. I'm very, very excited to watch the rest of the series, man. And also another movie you forgot to mention, Paris, is also the Mario movie. I'm excited for that one too. That looks really, really good. Top notch, man. You know,
what if I didn't forget to mention it? Don't tell me what I remembered and forgot.
First of all, give props. All right. Mention it.
You're right. You're right. Because I'm highly anticipating that as well. And you know, people can complain about Chris Pratt doing Mario's voice or whatever, but looking at the first two trailers we've seen, it looks really, really good. And it looks very, very faithful to the source material. So yeah, I'll be there day one.
Yeah, even the clip that they showed at the Game Awards, I'm like, oh man, there was so many Easter eggs. Even the sound of in the background that was playing, oh man, it's gonna be really good. Pete, what about you, man? You're excited to watch The Last of Us series or what, man?
I am. Unfortunately, I won't be able to watch until tomorrow because it gets released at like 7 or 8 o'clock at night, East Coast time. So I won't get a chance to see it. But am I looking forward to it? Absolutely. I didn't know that they were gonna do the entire season one in the first series, you know, the first game in the first series. I would have imagined that they extended that to 2 because it gives it more content. But that's good to know. I mean, with the list of actors and actresses on that whole thing, I mean, we know how well Pedro Pascal and Gabriel Luna are. Bella Ramsey, obviously, from seeing her time on Game of Thrones, she stole that whole season with her two, you know, her two, the two episodes I believe she was in. I have no doubt in their ability to portray these roles. Obviously, we know Neil Druckmann's, you know, greatness from what he's dropped with this title in general. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. I cannot wait to see it.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear your thoughts, both of you, once the first episode releases, man. So, all right, so we got to wrap it up because I have to head out of town.
No problem.
Everyone, thank you so much for watching and also listening to Gamer Attack Radio episode 1239 here. And yeah, we have more content coming up. This is going to be a big year. Lots of content coming up from our side, because a lot of companies are releasing great, great games in 2023. All these games that were supposed to come out last year that got delayed, it's coming out this year, and I can't wait for us to, you know, either attend events, have some preview hands-on, or interviews opportunities. We'll see. But stay tuned. We have a lot of cool stuff coming up, man. So, all right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Everyone, make sure to follow us and listen to us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Also, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, until next time, we're out. Take care, y'all. Peace. Later.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.